Let's talk about veterans, and who better than Laura Stradley, the CEO, is that it, or executive director?
Yep.
I don't know which title everybody has these days, but the Veterans Outreach Center, we know very well over on South Avenue, and it is the oldest Veterans Outreach Center in the country.
That's right. Yeah,
there used to be a bunch of them, right?
There were. So we go all the way back to 1973. And around that time, the government was funding organizations like ours because I think probably everybody knows, you know, unfortunately, the Vietnam veterans did not get the homecoming they should have gotten. They struggled with the VA. And so, you know, wisely, the federal government started putting some money into community-based organizations like VOC. Unfortunately, as with many government projects, the funding dried up after a few years.
Right.
And most of the others around the country, you know, kind of closed their doors. And our Vietnam vets here in Rochester said that wasn't going to happen, and they kept it going. And here we are almost 50 years later.
I've done multiple veterans events recently, and you and I just talked about it before we opened up the mics. And one of the retired colonels in town, a very impressive man, John Perrone, was mentioning how our community really, really supports veterans, not just Vietnam veterans, but all veterans.
We do. You know, our county is very supportive. We have one of the larger veterans service agencies funded by the county in the state. You know, obviously, we've got the Veterans Outreach Center, which is just a real gem, I think, in our community. But so many other organizations as well that have kind of areas of specialty and focus. We've got Honor Flight. We've got,
That's a good one. We have one of the better Honor Flights, I understand, too, because I've talked to those people before.
They're very active. They are very well-known and respected in the community, and they do a great job with fundraising so they can get lots of vets to Washington, D.C. to see their memorials every year. So we've got Veterans Treatment Court, and, you know, of course, we're one of the first communities, again, across the country to open a Veterans Treatment Court. And in many courts across the country come to Rochester to learn how we run ours because right. It's so successful.
Was that something? Was that Judge Pine that started that, or was she a part of that?
Judge Marks was the second judge that ran it, and she really did a phenomenal job. But she was involved in the original creation of it. I think Judge Schwartz was possibly
okay.
The first
right.
judge that opened it, but I'm not positive about that.
Right, but that's important because veterans have special needs, and when they get into trouble, and sometimes, you know, there's a lot of circumstances behind it.
Right. And I think that we can a lot of times, unfortunately, trace some of the challenges back to military service, whether it's a difficult transition or trauma that they endured during service that was left untreated. And so the great thing is, I think veterans demonstrate an ability to follow the rules and to thrive with structure and organization. And so when they commit nonviolent crimes, if the local, you know, district attorney and the judge are willing, they've got an opportunity to get rehabilitated instead of just, you know, thrown
right.
into jail. And the great thing about that is it connects them to veteran services. There's requirements for them to get a job and to be, you know, productive in their community again, giving them a sense of purpose. They get connected to peer mentors who can really help them as they're navigating, you know, tough decisions. And the recidivism rates as a result are very low. So it's
right,
really a
right.
win-win for everybody.
And something you said in there is about jobs. And,
mm-hmm.
and you guys do a lot of stuff to help local veterans find employment, including preparing them.
Yes, we do. We sure do. So, you know, my reference to the treatment court, we case manage Veterans Treatment Court. But, you know, in terms of jobs, we have a great employment and training program. And every year we help anywhere from, you know, in the pandemic years, it's been a little lighter. But even during those years, anywhere from 175 to 225 vets a year find local civilian employment. And part of that process is not just finding a job. I think a lot of people can find a job. But
right,
it's
right.
it's having the skills that will allow that person to transfer what they did maybe in military service or to develop something new that they can apply in the civilian community. It's communicating all of those skills. You know, when I first came back to Rochester after joining the military, I was in the Army for 8 years, and during the time that I was in service, I got a master's degree in business. But I hadn't had a chance to use it because I was in the Army.
Sure.
And so when I got out and I really wanted to find a job that allowed me to use that skill, I was told, you know, repeatedly that I didn't have any experience. And that was very frustrating.
But you have a degree.
Exactly. I had a degree and I had, you know, 8 years of the Army. But the point is, I guess, you know, probably A, I wasn't translating my skills well. And B, you know, I didn't have the networking tools that I really needed to get before the right people. And so that's something that we pride ourselves on at Veterans Outreach Center. We've got great connections with local employers. We help people with the resume writing and with, you know, maybe adding to that skill set to make sure that everything they've got makes them, you know, really prime for a local employer. And then after they get into the job, you know, we follow them for another 270 days. So for a lot of our veterans who may have experienced some challenges prior to employment, they may have experienced homelessness or other, you know, legal issues, housing related concerns. It is sometimes difficult then when you get a job to keep it. You still have some of those things maybe lurking in the background that are kind of almost trying to sabotage you. And so we make sure that we get as many of those things resolved as possible before they get into employment. And then we're there to support them after they get that job to continue to provide those services as needed.
You mentioned housing. I don't know if people realize that Veterans Outreach has a couple of different houses, right?
We do. We've got our Liberty Landing, which is our permanent supportive, affordable housing complex. It's over on Scio Street. We just opened it in 2020. We have 33 apartments there, and they are veteran preference. We also have, of the 33, 10 that are set aside for formerly homeless and disabled vets. Oh. So it's a fantastic place to live. It's permanent, so people can bring their vets can bring their families and live there. The other facilities we've got are transitional and emergency housing. We've got Richards House and Otto House. We renovated Otto House in 2019, and it's 8 apartments. It's gorgeous. The veterans can live there at no cost. And typically, the veterans who live there are just leaving our emergency shelter, which is called Richards House. And it's a great stepping stone for them to get some of that, you know, autonomy, some of that independence, but still have the support of our staff. Richards House, which we're super excited about, we are in the process of a $7 million renovation right now. Yeah. So we're adding about 16 beds in order to try to meet the needs of the homeless veteran population here in Rochester. And so the shelter is getting expanded and it is just getting gutted. It's, you know, we're adding an elevator. We're adding a gorgeous new kitchen, a lot of good staff counseling spaces. And it's just, it's going to be amazing when it's done.
And female veterans have special needs, too. I mean, that's a different...
Do.
Sometimes, you know, they have children and stuff like that. And you have services for them as well?
We do. So, you know, probably a lot of people have heard, although you don't hear as much about it in the news these days, but there for a while around 2010, 2012, it seemed like every time you turn on the news, you'd hear about the latest military sexual trauma, incident. And when you look at the numbers, about a third of all of the women that have served report that they were somehow victims of sexual trauma. And, you know, I just actually read about the court case involving that poor woman at Fort Hood that it just took place, I think maybe a year or two ago, where she was traumatized repeatedly. And she wrote home about it, asked her mother, you know, please don't get involved. Her mother wanted to, you know, reach out to the chain of command at Fort Hood. And ultimately, one of her aggressors ended up killing her. And it was just very tragic. But so it happens. And
it's an all too common thing.
It is. It's prevalent.
I've heard of more than one story like that.
Female vets are more likely actually than their male counterparts to be divorced when they get out of service. And so to your point, Dino, they do have some unique challenges oftentimes. And we have services to support our female vets, whether that's through, you know, various different programs and peer support groups. Or we also have Priscilla's House. Now, Priscilla's House is right now not functioning to support our women because we're really trying to kind of remodel that so that it's a better program all the way around for females and or their children that need housing. But so more to come on that. And I think we'll really see some changes to that space in 2023.
Now, you've done a lot of stuff on South Avenue, including you've got a gym now.
Yes.
You've got a salon.
Yes.
You were talking about jobs. So sometimes people need a suit to go on an interview, right?
Yes.
You do that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, you got our operation down pat.
I've worked with you guys a while now.
You do, so, and you have. So, yes, we have a barbershop hair salon that is, you know, at no cost to our vets. Come in and get your hair cut. Again, if you're trying to get a job or you just need to get a haircut. I mean, you want to look your best, and it helps you feel your best, I think. But our fitness center just opened in April, and that is open to all veterans and their families at no cost. We have our quartermaster program, as you mentioned, and in that program, we have suits and professional attire. We've got winter clothing, essential items, any type of toiletry or you know, shampoo, conditioner, that type of thing. And we also have a food pantry, which is available to veterans and their families. We're really excited about this pantry because we just actually have been remodeling that whole space at our North Campus at 459 South Ave. And veterans now, when they come in, they can actually choose their own food, like off the shelves, almost as though you're like in a grocery store.
Right.
Yeah. And they, you know, if they need it delivered, we can deliver it to their homes if they're not able to come out. But it really, we just had a veteran the other day say, man, this is so nice. You know, I come in here and I can pick the food that I like. It's not just, you know, somebody giving me a basket and stuff that I don't even care to eat. And so, you know,
I like that, you know, because pride is a huge thing with veterans. I know that from my Uncle Willie, who was in Vietnam. You know, pride, you know, he had some issues, and my cousin, who his offspring had some issues because of Agent Orange and stuff like that.
Right.
And it was all pride. He didn't go look for what was available to him from the VA and in organizations like yours.
Well, it's hard. You know, I think having served in the military myself, we're not encouraged to ask for help.
Right.
You know,
you're
encouraged to lead and to, you know, to take charge and to have, moral fortitude and intestinal strength and, you know, all those
be
kinds
a badass,
of things. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. What I was thinking, but
come on. You can say
it. But you're right. I mean, you know, you're really not encouraged to say, I need help. I can't do this. Even though teamwork is a huge thing in the military. So it's kind of funny that on the one hand, we recognize it. We can't do it alone. You know, we got to have a strong team. But on the other hand, you feel uncomfortable saying that you can't do something. And so I think that we see that play out a lot when veterans leave the military too, and especially when it comes to mental health. You know, I can remember, and of course, you know, my service goes back 20 years, but I can remember that you are really frowned upon if you go on sick call. So if you got to go to the doctor for anything, you know, the unit doesn't like that. And so maybe things have changed. I hope it has. But I just remember trying to save up issues. You know, it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to go just because of this. I'll wait until I got three or four problems. Then I'll go.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, they don't think we used to call them sick call commandos. So, you know, and I think when people separate from the military, sometimes that mentality lingers. Like, I can tough this out. I should wait a little bit longer.
Right.
You know,
don't suffer alone.
No, it's just, it gets you nowhere. And the reality is that mentality, maybe it works for the Department of Defense, but it does not work for the rest of your life.
No.
It's not exactly. It's not the way to go. So,
well, we're almost out of time. And that one number sticks. You were talking about Richard House and you're talking about $7 million. Now that money just doesn't come out of nowhere. You guys do things to raise that money.
That's what I keep trying to tell our contractors and our architects.
So what we wanted to bring up is a Pound the Ground on Wednesday, the 24th of August. So it's coming right up.
Yeah.
And so give us a little overview. It's a 5K run or walk.
It's a lot of fun.
Mendon Ponds, beautiful spot to do it. And how do we get signed up?
Well, so you can get right on the VOC website, vocroc.org, to get signed up. You can give us a call at 546-1081. But it really is fun. Of course, you're there, Dino, so that makes it fun.
Yeah, that makes it fun.
But it's unique, I think, because we like to have what we call the Battle of the Branches. So if you did serve in the military, you know, even if you don't like to run anymore, anymore. I don't run anymore. But, you know, come out and walk it. It's, we've got somebody from the Navy who generally warms everybody up for
That's
the race.
Right.
And
yeah.
he does it kind of boot camp style, which is fun. And then, you know, if
And then the Golden Boot.
Yes, the Golden Boot. So if you served in the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, you are basically entered to win
teams,
the
chance. Right?
Yeah, to win the opportunity to have the Golden Boot, whoever's the fastest. So, you know, every year I make a pitch to all my Army friends to come out.
It's the Navy keeps winning,
yes.
isn't it? Yeah,
yes,
the Navy
every
guys.
Year. So maybe I should stop asking Army guys to come out. But no, it's really fun. And of course, it supports a great cause. So we would love to see as many people come out as possible. Help us get, you know, across the finish line with this renovation to our homeless shelter. And
it's a Wednesday
your
evening.
Sisters.
It's not taking up your, you know, most 5Ks and 10Ks and stuff like that are on Sunday, Saturday morning kind of thing. This is kind of different. It's more of a party atmosphere,
yeah,
but it's for a great cause, you know?
You know, bring your kids out, and
it's
like you said,
you're in the park.
It's not that hot usually. Of course, now I'll probably jinx it, but because it's evening, it's
right.
a nicer time of day, I think, to be outside. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's music, there's food. So we hope to see a great turnout this year.
So anybody who's out there suffering, or if you know somebody suffering who and you think the service had something to do with it, Veterans Outreach Center.
Yes,
right.
Please give us a call. If we're not the right place, we can direct you.
Yeah, if you know somebody, you know, just, Evie, you guys will tell them, you give people advice on how to lead people to you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
you
for sure.
And you guys also help navigate the VA system.
Yes.
We've always heard about the nightmares of the Veterans Administration stuff.
It's not easy. You know, I was not eligible for VA health care when I first got home either, and it took me probably almost 10 years before I was able to get into the
right,
VA.
Right.
And, you know, I've been working in this industry for a long time. So it's not easy, but it is doable if you've got the right advocate, and we can be that for any veteran that's out there.
And just find out what services you have coming to you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
that's what you guys
absolutely.
Are there for.
I mean, that's the thing. You served your country, you know, you committed and sacrificed and gave, whether you deployed or not, you know, you still
right.
put the uniform on and you were ready to go. And so we encourage you to now, you know, allow us to be part of your civilian journey.
Laura Stradley, the executive director and CEO of Veterans Outreach Center, VOCROC.org.
Yes.
August 24th is the Pound the Ground, the run.
Yep.
And thank you for joining us once again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.